Welcome in. It is Thursday, November 18th. Welcome to Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about the stimulus and what the CBO numbers might actually say about its ability to be paid off, pay for itself. How will it affect inflation as the cost of just about everything is going up? We're going to show you the latest numbers on gasoline this morning, why your Thanksgiving meal is going to be maybe three times as expensive. So all of that and more on the stimulus inflation battle.
And we're going to talk about a new survey which shows that about half of Americans are intending to retire with debt. So these people are going in with a fixed income.
They have no choice.
But burgeoning debt. What is the word I'm looking to? Burgeoning.
Burgeoning.
More.
Right.
More
debt.
That's
a lot of debt.
Yes.
A lot of debt. We're also going to be talking about President Biden basically pulling a hypocrite move just a few days after going to the COP26 conference and talking for a reduction in carbon and fossil fuel emissions. Wants to basically, well, we'll tell you exactly this about face that the Biden administration is making as it relates to fossil fuel consumption in the United States.
And there is a major tax break in the Build Back Better law that has been discovered, and media companies are asking themselves about it. This is a strange story. We're going to talk about it. Why do media companies need this big stimulus tax bill? We're going to talk about that and what's trending. Let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Let's do it.
There's no audio, so I decided to...
That sounded so weird.
I couldn't hear it.
I was like, what is that?
Wait, so there's no audio. Why is there no audio?
Because
I don't know why there's no audio on that.
Roadcaster.
So David did a banjo. Wow. I appreciated that.
I hope our audio
much.
From our clips today will play.
They won't.
No good.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Well, that's okay, because most of my images are
You know
just
what? I'm just going to go join Grover.
No, you're not. We can talk through this.
I'm just going to put on that. You need to put on your Snuggie.
Yeah. And I'm just going to go sit with Grover today. I'm throwing in the towel. Come on, man. I mean.
Okay. I'm not that thrown by this because none of that is my responsibility.
Right.
The buttons and stuff. So I'm like, whatever.
All of the buttons like that you don't see on camera that I'm running over here and producing the show, like. All of this is none of your concern. You
and
just get
so,
to sit there with your stein of water, mm-hmm. and you're fine.
Well, I mean, I do a lot of the legwork for the research and the content creation. Okay, we shouldn't argue about responsibilities here. I'm just saying that
slide into
your
camera. You can't even... All right.
I'm trying to get towards the microphone.
But I want to see you as well.
Thank you. All right, so all right. Here's the story.
All right,
are you
let's
ready
talk
for
about
the story?
This.
Okay.
Yes, let's talk about what's going on with the stimulus as it relates to inflation, and we're still awaiting for the Congressional Budget Office to tell us whether or not the first stimulus, the $1 trillion stimulus, is going to be paid for, and whether this Build Back Better plan will be paid for as well.
Meanwhile, the Moody's, the rating agency, which normally rates companies and other types of financial products, has stepped forward and said, in our independent analysis, we do not think that either of these spending packages will result in more inflation for the American people. Inflation has been the real sticking point for the Build Back Better package. We already got the infrastructure package that was put into law within the last few days. It's the Build Back Better bill that we are still arguing over, and progressive Democrats have said, hey, you promised us, sign this into law, but other holdouts are saying we're worried about the impact on the economy. We want more information from the Congressional Budget Office. Well, those numbers haven't come out yet. They're expected any day now. Conveniently, in advance of this, now Moody's is saying, well, that's okay because we've got our own independent analysis and we think it will not have any effects of inflation. It says, specifically, the chief economist at Moody's told Reuters, the bills do not add to inflation pressures as the policies help to lift long-term economic growth via stronger productivity. Now, normally I would think, okay, that's fine, that's what they think. But I feel like the cynic in me is like, this is interestingly timed. I feel like they are coming out in advance of maybe some numbers that the CBO will come out with that the administration doesn't like, and maybe asked for this gimme so that they can say, well, we don't like those numbers, but we like these numbers, right? Because we are all pretending that this mounting debt is not an issue because we want to keep spending.
Right. I mean, what they're saying is two pieces of legislation should not have any material impact on inflation.
Oh, that's a nice graphic.
Like that, the burning of the dollars.
Yes.
That's how, I mean, okay, so as the government continues to print money and then essentially burn it, print as much as they want, it's not going to have any effect. Now, again, you say the cynic in you. I think you're right to think that. Because when I saw this, I felt the same way. Remember the first bill, the first infrastructure bill that was just signed by President Biden benefits Wall Street.
And the CBO had an actual analysis on that and said it will not pay for itself like the Democratic Party is saying that it will. And the Democratic Party said, we don't like that. We're not going to listen to it. We don't really believe it. Our numbers are different. So now reading this, I am just expecting the same song and dance coming out, because who incentivized Moody's to do this? Who asked for it, right? I don't have those answers, but now I feel a bit conditioned to ask the questions.
Yeah, but we should, right? Like, why is Moody's spending money on this analysis right now? Like, it's an interesting question. Why is Mark Zandi? I've interviewed Mark Zandi a number of times from Moody's Analytics. They're looking at this and saying it's not going to add any inflationary pressure. Don't worry about it. Pump money into the economy as much as you can. It won't have any effect on productivity or labor force growth. It's going to be fine. Nothing to see here. And you guys, government can continue to print as much money as possible. Because who benefits right now? I mean, who benefits? Wall Street benefits from this, right?
Yes,
Wall Street
absolutely.
Benefits from the amount of money being flooded into the system. And it, you know, inflation disproportionately hurts the lower middle class and lower income Americans.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
We all
the
know.
Rise, the cost of the prices rising across the board for just about everything. And as we look today about the cost of everything, I'm talking about beef, right? Here's the news this morning about beef prices rising 20%.
That's why our turkey's smaller this year.
I guess. Beef, though, not turkey.
Okay, sorry.
Not poultry, beef.
The turducken will
the
be.
Yeah, the turducken. This is the highest single year increase in beef prices since 2003. That's back when, and look at this, that's back when mad cow disease emerged. And so there was all this beef recall and everyone was concerned about mad cow, right? So mm-hmm. Now we've got, you know, now we've got concerns over this 20% increase in that. We've also got, what else do we have here? Oh yeah, no, we have, where's the other one?
Well, it's just an interesting sort of forced peace. It feels a bit like, no, you're going to be fine. This is what Wall Street needs. And we'll just give you this pacifying bit of research. And, you know, if you look at the way it's presented in the mainstream media, it's got Biden, you know, speaking. And it's just like these subliminal messages. It's like, what the Biden administration wants is fine. Go along with it. Don't ask questions. Because we all know that we are heading into a budget, a debt limit discussion, and we are going to hit that debt limit.
Yeah, and another area you're probably feeling a lot of pain besides grocery stores is also gasoline prices right now. This out this morning that President Biden is now urging the FTC to probe gasoline market with prices up 50%, like thinks that there's price gouging going on.
Okay,
you know exactly what's going on. We have a story coming up later in the show where we're going to talk about the issue with oil and gas prices right now. So these prices are real. People are feeling them at the pump right now. I'm curious in the chat, and David, like, what are your prices for gasoline right now for a gallon of gasoline? And I don't even know anymore because I just switched to an electric car.
We just hit $3.79 up here.
$3.79,
and I saw it as high as $4 when I was traveling, but it makes sense because the pipeline was hacked. So,
right,
yeah,
yeah. So I went with the new electric.
That's yes. Beautiful.
So yeah, there's my new electric, my electric yeah. Mini, tiny little mini electric car on running on solar power now.
Big guy in a little car.
It's true.
Yeah, you just had to. Clayton, he jokes that he wants to pull up into a gas station and then, as the attendant comes out, go, just kidding.
Just kidding.
Drive just away.
Kidding. I'm not using your gas. I'm not using this.
No carbon. Fossil fuel for me.
No fossil fuel anymore for me. But yeah, so I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but we, you know, if you're paying 50% more for gasoline and that is incredibly important for your livelihood, if you're, you know, run a small business that has to, you know, to carry goods around, a small bakery that has to deliver bread to different stores. I mean, again, 49% increase from last year. That's a huge profit cut in your overall profit.
Meanwhile, yesterday Target had record number profits for the third quarter and says, we are stocked up for your needs. There will not be any issues when you start your Christmas shopping next Friday. So,
Something's out of whack here.
Like, yes, here's the bottom line. It's all right for some.
Right. Well, as like Stephanie Ruhle from MSNBC said yesterday, we've got a record amount of savings right now, so it's not going to hurt you. You don't have to worry about it.
But none of this exists in the vacuum, which brings up the next story we were going to talk about, which is the fact that Americans now, 50% of them say that they are heading into retirement with debt. They want to retire sooner. Women would like to retire sooner than men, but they are holding debt and they know that they will not have it paid off by the time they go into retirement. This means that those debt payments will have to be accounted for when they go into their part of their life, which is fixed income, right? It means that they're not earning anymore. They're going to be living on their Social Security and other retirement plans, and debt repayment will be a part of this, not just mortgage. Credit card debt as well.
Yeah, this survey out this morning is really troubling. 46%.
Yes.
46% of all Americans going to retire in debt. Most people are just used to living with debt in the United States.
Now, there were some numbers that came out last year around the fall that showed that people had saved and paid off debt during the pandemic when we thought we were at the end of it 1 year ago.
Yeah, thanks to stimulus.
Yes.
Thanks to additional stimulus.
Which we have not had
since
the second quarter of the year, first quarter of the year. I can't remember.
Yeah, January.
Now, this survey shows that between July and September of this year, 2021, U.S. household debt has climbed to a new record of $15.24 trillion, according to the Federal Reserve. That is a lot more debt. So we were decreasing debt at this time last year. You know, you can sort of see how stimulus helped people to pay off the debt that they were incurring. You can also see that people live on a steady diet of debt. And you can see that spending is the way to go. In America, it's just like the American ethos right now is the government spends and people spend. And nobody knows how to reel this back in. Or what's the expression? Put the horse back in the barn.
Put the horse back in the barn.
That.
Put the toothpaste back in the tube.
You can, put the cows. Why is it back hard to field. Put a horse back in a barn?
They don't like barns. They want to hang out outside.
Okay.
Horses like the fresh air.
That's just not an intimidating expression. It's like you can't put a baby back in a womb.
That's because you're not a horse.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't put that baby back in the womb. How about that?
If I were a baby, it's nice and warm in there. I'd want to go back in.
You can't go back in.
Be like, hey, that's why they cry when they come out. They're like, man, I was all nice and warm in this warm bath.
I know. I saw Look Who's Talking. Let's talk more about this.
Yeah. So, all right. So as this piece points out, Americans have never been so much in debt. As pandemic relief, as this New York Fed chief said, as pandemic relief winds down, we are beginning to see the reversal of some of the credit card balance trends seen during the pandemic. What I don't get is that we're seeing massive amounts of debt. We're seeing record profits right now from Target. Walmart's doing really well. Home Depot announcing 2 days ago great earnings, and that they see that even with the pandemic winding down and people going back outside, that home improvement projects are still taking off. So I'm also seeing car loans going up. So the amount of people that are going into debt to get a car right now is also increasing. Americans are also going into greater debt to buy a home. So they're taking on a lot more debt, a burden of their overall amount of money that they have, you know, to pay. So now the amount that they're paying on car loans and rent and or mortgages are exceeding, you know, the rule of thumb is really 25% of your take-home pay should go towards rent or a mortgage, right? Now it's upwards of 50%.
Yes.
So just think about that. Most Americans now, when they come home from work, their paycheck every week is going almost 50% just to cover their living expenses.
I mean, but this is now the American way. The American government's fine with a lot of debt and wants more.
Right.
And the American people are now having to live on credit and debt. So there is no talk of fiscal responsibility or helping anyone out of fiscal responsibility or limits on credit. I know we've talked many times when we
Let me correct you on that, because auto loans, student loan balances also massively increased, and home loans are a huge piece of this. We've been talking, and there's been a number of progressives that have been talking about eliminating student loan debt.
Yes.
Free community college for Americans so they don't go further into debt, but President Biden walked away from that.
But President Biden's point was it does not prevent people from taking on further debt, and he would like to prevent, which was a good point, but he does not seem interested in actually
offering. But if the two go hand in hand, right? So if you have free community college and then you also eliminate student loan debt,
yes,
you're fixing both the problem and the... You're fixing both the problem. You're not just putting Band-Aid on a pig.
That's not an expression.
I just made it up.
That's
okay.
You're not putting Band-Aids. It's not a Band-Aid solution, because then you're also fixing the main problem, which is that people are spending so much to go to college in the first place.
That is not the main problem of credit, though. A lot of credit is either people who need to use the credit on their living expenses, or they're using credit, which means they're living in a way that they cannot actually afford, right?
Right.
Either because they don't make enough to live in society with current prices, or
we're
because
talking
they're
about
living
debt,
outside
debt.
Of their means.
Right.
And that is debt, debt.
Well,
right?
Look at this piece, right?
Or buying things they don't need because, you know, of irresponsible spending habits. But,
yeah, but
we can take college and put it in a different boat.
Okay, I'm not going to put it in a different boat, because look at this. Mortgages are the largest component of household debt. It rose by $230 billion last quarter. Last quarter. Not last year, or even like the whole last year. Just this last 3 months, total $10.6 trillion. We have a housing crisis in the United States.
Okay, but what I
auto
meant
loans,
by...
Hold on. Auto loans and student loan balances also increased, rising by $28 billion in the last quarter. So this isn't like legacy debt. This is happening now during a pandemic when President Biden and the Democrats are running the show, and they have the opportunity here to fix this and eliminate student loan debt, help families right now, and they're not.
Okay, but you're pretending as if consumers have no choice in the matter. And I mean, if you look at this quote you just had on screen, the Economist explanation is, like, why are people spending like this? And it's because they can, because they have the room on their credit card.
Well, some
it's not
do.
Just auto loans and credit card loans. It says even credit card debt is back to pre-pandemic level
has
at a
yet,
record high.
Has yet to get back to pre-pandemic levels.
No, but it is already higher, $1.1 trillion higher than at the end of 2019.
Right. But I think what you and I are both going around the campfire on this issue here is that there is a huge disparity between the haves and have-nots in this country. And the people that have are able to go to Target, and they're running up credit card debt, or they're buying goods, they're going to Walmart, they're buying Home Depot projects to fix their homes. And then there are millions of Americans for whom they're not even thinking about fixing up their home. They just want to be able to put food on their table. They're saddled with lots of debt. The cost of their rent has now gone up, or the cost of their mortgage has gone up. The cost of housing has gone up. The cost of electricity has gone up. Auto loans are also up. So they need a car to get from point A to point B for work, et cetera. I just think there's a disconnect right now in this economy.
Yes, I think so too, but you're speaking as if consumers have no education or power or choice, as if there are like, oh, the government's doing them wrong and we are all accidentally taking on this debt. There is consumer choice in the matter. People are just spending. There is a sort of overall, like...
Yes, but there's also a huge predatory factor to all of this.
Of course there is. And it's the cultural problem, right? It's like no one's educating people on how to live within their means. cities are making it harder for them to live in within their means. And there comes the credit industry with these products that say, oh, that's okay, just put it on your card. For instance, the story in the newsletter this morning about how American Airlines and all of these other loyalty programs no longer actually reward you for flying. You get more points for spending. Why? Because the airline makes more money as a credit card, as a debt product.
Right.
Rather than actually flying airplanes, right? The flying airplanes part, they can make money because the government subsidizes them. Fine. But this credit card business we got, really profitable. So go out and spend a bunch of money and we'll give you more mileage for that. Like, I think that it's not something we can blame the government as much as we can blame the culture.
Well,
yeah,
and
I
also
think blaming the culture.
The fact that the wages have been stagnant this whole time, too. Everything else is going up, but wages have stayed the same. So that's a major contributor, and that does basically come from the government, if you want to look at it from a minimum wage standpoint.
Yes. Yes, wages are not keeping pace. I mean, it's a holistic system, right?
Yeah.
I agree with you. But why, then, is the current, you know, like, because we can, like, why is that there? And who is it there for? I guess this is the question. And the fact that there just is no education around any of these debt products, but we can just continue to take it on. So,
well, and I think if you look at, you know, you look at this predatory lending practices right now, look at the cover of the Wall Street Journal today. Here's a story on the Wall Street Journal front page about, it's not just you, banks really are sending out more credit card offers right now. So lenders are spending a lot of money on mailers and generous rewards to lure customers and boost balances. They want you to take on more debt. They are going after you right now.
They make money off that debt. They make the interest rates or whatever. They make, you know, like, we are a debt-based society, and that's what creates a lot of these billionaires.
Yes.
Yeah. During the past two quarters, cashback cards offered an average of 1.11% per dollar spent, up from 108 in the beginning of the year, and the highest level since 2010. Miles or points offered have reached their highest level in over a decade, at 1.2 miles or points per dollar spent. I mean, banks are going all out right now, as they point out in this piece, to appeal to a broader set of consumers. Capital One, known for subprime and travel rewards, with its modest annual fees, launched a Venture X card, which is a $395 a year card that comes with access to its first airport lounge. American Express recently added a benefit for Walmart shoppers to use its Platinum card. It has a $695 annual fee to use that. And, as they point out, nearly every card issuer has the same goal, to find cardholders with good credit scores who will carry balances. These customers are among the most lucrative for banks, and their absence is keenly felt. Big banks' credit card profitability fell last year to its lowest level since 2009, according to the Federal Reserve.
I mean, look, Americans are really uneducated when it comes to personal finance. But they know that it feels awful to get a credit card statement that they cannot pay. Everybody knows that, right? But I'm just going to say that it's cultural at this point. It's this sort of lack of education and the fact that we're fine with it and that it's allowed. So I'm not making excuses for the government by any means, but I do think that we have a choice in the matter as to sort of reject this as a culture. However, like, one little YouTube show at a time.
We can do what we can, right? We've got more to get to here on the show this morning. We're going to talk about what President Biden just did on oil and gas leases. This should infuriate you. You don't want to miss this story. And we're going to talk about big media companies getting a boatload of stimulus money. We'll tell you about that. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Codecademy, because, oh no, you do not want to be one of those kids that's not prepared, or person not prepared for the future when it comes to learning how to speak a new language. And that new language is coding. We all want to be better about this. You know, I think we should start to have coding as a main part of our education in this country. And Codecademy is a fantastic way to help you change your career. You know, we're living in a fast-changing world right now. It's one of the best ways to succeed is to learn how to code. Companies right now are absolutely salivating for people that know how to code. I mean, Apple and Google. Apple specifically is really looking for people that know how to use, you know, Swift programming language right now. And if you can write that kind of code, oh my gosh, the paycheck that you will get learning how, I mean, just using that skill and getting that job, that is a sought after skill right now. Over 50 million people already know that Codecademy is the best way to learn to code. That's because Codecademy not only teaches you job-ready coding skills, but it also helps you build unique projects for your portfolio, earn certificates, and even prep for technical interviews. Codecademy really knows what your full potential is, because Codecademy, you can learn technical skills to advance your career or start a totally new career right now. And with millions of people leaving the workforce, we got the jobs numbers out this morning, and so many millions of people have just said, you know what, I take your low-paying job and shove it. I don't want to work at Subway anymore. Here's an opportunity for you to make a radical change in your life. You can learn at your own pace, you can get qualified for in-demand jobs right away, and choose what to learn, from basic website design to artificial intelligence, everything else that you could want. By the way, what's her name? Kathy Wood of ARK Invest said that one sector of the economy that is absolutely going to explode is artificial intelligence, AI. So she, a multi-billionaire investor with ARK Invest, is putting a ton of money behind artificial intelligence. Well, using Codecademy, you can learn to code and learn to work in the artificial intelligence space. You'll be writing real-world working code in just a few minutes. Learn coding languages including Python, HTML, JavaScript, and more. And all you need to do right now is to go to their website, and you can get a 15% off. This is a perfect Christmas gift, by the way. So join over 50 million people learning to code with Codecademy and see where coding can take you. Get 15% off your Codecademy Pro membership when you go to Codecademy.com. Use promo code INVEST. That's promo code INVEST at Codecademy.com to get 15% off Codecademy Pro. The best way to learn to code is Codecademy, Codecademy.com, promo code INVEST. So our thanks to them.
All right. Well, the federal government has promised to do a lot of awesome things for the environment. You may recall all the hoopla that came out of the COP26 conference in Scotland earlier this month, where the president promised that America was really going to be a leader on reducing our dependency on fossil fuels and moving to clean energy. That was nice, and that was last week. This week, what the Biden administration has done is put 80 million acres of land up for lease for oil and gas production in the Gulf of Mexico. This is twice the size of Florida, and they are saying, hey, come as you may. Now, there are no guarantees that this land will actually be used by the fossil fuel industry, but we can sort of pretty much hang our hat on it. We're pretty sure that it will. And now environmentalists are shocked and saying that this could lock in decades of fossil fuel production. So thanks for that little pat on the back and thumbs up on the environment, and then going and doing something which is a thumbs down.
Yeah, 4 days. Like, it only took you 4 days after the COP26 conference. And by the way, I mean, why? None of us should be surprised, right? I mean, think about under President Obama, the amount of exploratory drilling that unfolded eclipsed everything that we saw under George W. Bush, right? Think about the drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. That was on Obama's watch, right? That was on Obama's watch that we had the BP oil spill, right? We know, what was her name? Sarah Palin was out there saying, drill, baby, drill. And President Obama was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
The Dakota Access Pipeline as well.
Which pipeline?
The Dakota.
Dakota Access Pipeline?
Yeah.
Right.
But just think about this. 4 days. All it took was 4 days after the climate talks for us in the U.S. to lead by example, does an about-face on this, and now is going to auction off 80 million acres for fossil fuel extraction.
Now, we know from the California congresswoman who recently interviewed the oil and gas executives and said... Yeah. Katie Porter, who just last week or the week before interviewed oil and gas executives and said, why are you leasing all of this land that you're not using yet? And they said, well, we kind of think we need to. And she said, are you going to stop leasing more land for fossil fuel productions. And they outright told her, no, we are going to continue to take on more land. So here, federal government has it for you. The federal government's fine with it. So are we so naive to think that they're not going to take it when they flat out have told us that they will?
Right. I mean, and look at this map, right? I mean, and she asked them, like, what more do you need? How much more land do you need for this? 80 million acres. And by the way, I mean, this area, if you think about, I mean, is prone to all sorts of ecological problems.
Yes.
And not to mention climate change issues that have resulted in all kinds of hurricane-related issues. This is the home of the BP oil spill. I mean, again, we have an opportunity right here to walk back what President Obama did, which was this deep sea drilling, which, of course, led to, and they're not safe, right? I mean, when they've looked the other way, and we still do not know the ecological fallout from the BP oil spill in this area. I mean,
yes.
You know, I'm sure that the people down there can speak, like, you go interview them face to face, they'll tell you what it's done to their seafood and their livelihood in these areas. But we still don't know the extent of it. We're still reeling from what happened with the Exxon Valdez in Alaska.
I mean, it just pokes a whole lot of holes in the theory that Democrats are the ones that care about the environment and Republicans do not. They both care about big business. And the environment is really an afterthought. It was just like, that was a fun 2 weeks that taxpayers spent to send our administration and administration executives to Scotland to have a fun time and drink some iron brew. But what came from it other than one agreement of steel and then some other like goals? They just keep setting goals like, oh, we're going to be carbon neutral by 2050.
Right.
But in the meantime, right? And it's not doing any of us any favors if we do not own any big business on Wall Street.
And I wonder how many airplanes they took to get over there and how many cars were in the motorcade for that one.
Well, yeah. Biden had 82 cars in his motorcade while he was in Scotland. And while he was in Scotland, he was calling calling on OPEC to use more fossil fuels and release more oil and gas from the OPEC nations. I mean, and he even acknowledged it. He sort of made fun of it. He's like, look, I get the irony of it all. Yeah, do you?
You know, think about this. Think about what that's like. You got all these world leaders showing up. They probably are in, you know, a couple limos or something. And then here comes America. Hey, 85 cars pulling up, like music blaring, country music artists getting out and standing on the hoods and stuff like, hey, we're America.
Yeah, and I
meanwhile, like a prime minister of Ireland, isn't it the prime minister of Ireland who rides his bike to Parliament every day, and he's like, that's nice. I'm going to ride because you guys are ridiculous fools.
Well, and then I love how the mainstream media just like totally falls in line with this too. And they, you know,
yes, like, yeah. Oh, Trump, he left the Paris Climate Accord. He doesn't care, right? Biden, yay, he rejoined it and then also sells off 80 million acres of new land.
Right. And we get these fawning covers. This is the cover this week of Time Magazine, John Kerry. The diplomat. John Kerry brings America back into the climate fight, right? The private jets that they're taking. Cover of Time magazine. You know, I guess these fawning reports from mainstream media, and yet this is exactly. I would love to see a Time magazine cover next week, like with a big picture of Biden saying hypocrite on it.
No, they won't do that.
You know, but that you got to remember that Biden probably cut that motorcade by like 15 cars, because we know Trump probably had over 100.
Perhaps. This is ridiculous, and it is worth contacting your representative about, because, I mean, we are an interconnected planet. This affects all of us.
Even Biden's Democratic allies have raised concerns. This part of it really stood out to me. This administration went to Scotland, told the world that America's climate leadership is back, and now it's about to hand over 80 million acres of public waters in the Gulf of Mexico to fossil fuel companies.
I mean, couldn't we have waited at least a week?
Right.
Like, maybe we all would have forgotten about Scotland.
You know, what's interesting is that Democrats want to say that we're so different than Donald Trump. Like, we're so different than Donald Trump. Really, in what way? Because if you want to look at, I mean, you want to talk about climate, you want to talk about extension of a lot of programs that President Trump was in favor of, just look at immigration right now.
Yeah.
I mean, The Economist magazine today has a damning piece, you should all read it, about the southern border. And President Biden essentially is extending and doing exactly what he criticized President Trump of doing at the southern border. He said he was going to lead a more ethical border plan. That was what he was going to do. He hasn't done that. He hasn't done that at all. And he's actually maybe restarting building wall structures in parts of Arizona. There's just piles of steel beams laying around. It's an absolute disaster right now. And he's extending programs that President Trump put in place that he personally criticized. So again, when it comes to climate, these are the exact same things that he criticized President Trump about.
Yes.
Hypocrisy.
Well, and that's like, think of all of the when they're running for office, how many of them in their private meetings say, don't worry, nothing will fundamentally change. From president to president, nothing for the establishment ever changes. It only changes as things for us.
Well, and he said it out loud. Yeah. Wall Street, in that meeting with Wall Street, he said, nothing will fundamentally change. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
It's like he said this. He said the quiet part out loud.
I know, but think about it. At least he kept one promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts in the comments below about this. And reach out to your, I mean, certainly, if you live in that region, reach out to your member of Congress and tell them to put an end to this. Put an end to this right now. Didn't we just pass a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that's supposed to increase solar, increase nuclear production, all of these clean energy technologies, and you're going to ramp this up in the Gulf of Mexico?
I mean, if we're ramping up anything, right, it's not like this is existing infrastructure. Well, we already have the rigs there. We're just going to live off of them and wean ourselves off. Well, no, we're weaning ourselves on new fossil fuels. So,
yeah.
All right. Speaking about things that benefit the hegemony currently in power, we want to tell you about this. An Associated Press report has recently found media tax credits in the Build Back Better law. Now, this is the infrastructure bill that has not been passed yet. We've spoken about it at the beginning of the show. So it is not a sure thing, but for some reason, the Biden administration has tucked in to page 1,957 this tax credit, which gives big media companies $12,500 per employee per quarter in tax credit, and it applies to companies that have more than how many, 1,000 employees?
Yeah, 1,000. I mean, listen to this. So, I mean, specifically Gannett, which is an awful company. It runs USA Today, which is a totally biased garbage newspaper. People, you can line your bird cages with it. That's why they give it away for free at hotels. Anyway, USA Today is one of the big ones. This piece of garbage is getting a huge amount of money from the federal government. The Gannett, one of the nation's largest remaining newspaper chains, could gain as much as $127.5 million
Now, that's a tax credit, right? It means that Gannett will have to pay on some of its profits. So any dollar that they should pay to the federal government will get credited. So this will lower their tax bill by as much as $127.5 million. So while we give all this lip service to, like, oh, we want big corporations to pay their fair share, we don't when it's the media, right?
Right.
So that's fine. The Associated Press, even, there's this funny quote, like, asked itself about it and had no comment.
Yeah, this is my favorite part. Like, the Associated Press went to the Associated Press spokesperson and asked them, hey, are we... the Associated Press going to be getting any money? And the Associated Press spokesperson said no comment to the Associated Press reporter doing the story.
At least they tried. I mean, that could, I mean, you could have just like asked in the mirror, like,
right,
Natalie, are we getting a no comment? Okay, I can write that down.
Right, like here at Morning Invest, here at Morning Invest, Clayton asked Natalie, will we be having dinner tonight?
No comment.
Hey, I tried. I tried to get the answer, but that's amazing.
This is interesting. Why is it there when the Build Back Better program is meant to, is not supposed to be a business infrastructure? Why was this not in the infrastructure bill if it was meant to stimulate business? Right now, they're saying it's for local journalists, but it applies to media companies with up to 1,000 people.
1,500 employees.
Up to,
and digital companies who qualify. Each company is allowed to claim the tax credit for up to 1,500 of their employees. So, as they point out in this piece, how many humble village newspapers, it's meant to like basically help those little small town newspapers that have been crushed or gobbled up by the likes of Gannett. Here's what's hilarious is that Gannett and other publications have basically gobbled them up and put them out of business.
Right.
So they've just been, it's become a conglomerate, right? They've just gobbled up these small newspapers.
Yes.
They've either just rolled them into their existing subscriber base or closed them all together. And so now we have this hegemony in the United States of just like a few media voices. One of those media voices is total garbage, and that's the USA Today.
So as the party in power goes around and says the Build Back Better plan is good for everyone, you're going to have to keep in mind who it's specifically good for, right? I mean, okay, they took out paid parental leave past 2 weeks. That 2 weeks is now, I think, what we're going to get. We're not completely sure. They took out community college. But yeah, some newspapers and media companies. I mean, media company could be anybody, right? And like,
but let's not forget at the heart of this is politics too. And I think, remember that when the Biden administration is going to give Gannett newspapers $127 million, do you think that the USA Today is going to run unfavorable stories about Joe Biden?
I mean,
this is because they lobbied. These big companies specifically lobbied the White House and Democrats to get this money, to get these tax breaks. It's buried on page 1,957 of this bill. It's hidden way, way, way deep in this bill. Democrats have included $1.6 billion to hand out to media companies under the guise of helping local journalists. And basically, as it points out in this piece, in reality, the provision is a product of D.C. lobbying swamp and will benefit large media companies.
Indeed,
well, you do know that they are really hurting now that Trump's not in office, and their viewership's going down because of podcasters and stuff. So they're really hurting, Clayton. So they really need that money. I think, yeah, it should have been way more than that.
Yeah, people just aren't. But we keep hearing from the New York Times, though, David, that like, hey, readership is way up, and they, you know, we see that at the top. Like, now transparency and honesty in journalism is now more important than ever. And then, of course, 2 weeks ago, we reported how the New York Times fabricated stories about elections in Argentina, literally invented stories. And yet we taxpayers are paying the New York Times and Gannett Media so that they can put in biased coverage of whomever they want. And again, these millionaire media corporations get more money.
Well, you make a good point about podcasters. I hope that anyone who is an independent media producer like a podcaster actually would take advantage of this too.
Yeah, well,
because
tell them about that.
Screw
so
you,
if you're a small media producer,
mm-hmm, you,
David included, us included, we could actually, with our employees, actually put in for this tax break.
Yeah.
So instead of just Gannett taking advantage of this.
Yes, I absolutely hope that podcasters and other media content creators will be taking advantage of a credit like this, because it is not just, it should not be just for the media elite. I don't think it should be there at all. But if it's there, I hope the little guy gets as much advantage as the big guy.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's just hope there's not a whole lot of loopholes, you know.
Right. Yeah. All right. Clayton, do you want to do our last show sponsor? And then we will tell you about what's trending.
All right. Speaking of giving some respect to the little guy, let's tell you about Blue Chew. Blue Chew, you know, fall is here. We could all use a stiff breeze. That's right. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, confidence can take you far in life. And it can also help you in the bedroom, especially when it comes times to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. All you need to do is go to BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. So no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. So here's what you get. You're also going to get a free sample right now. So you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform. Blue Chew can help you. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code INVEST at checkout. All you do is pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code INVEST, to receive your first month totally free. All you need to do.
You know what I could do?
BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
So I could take one of those Wemo switches, and we could actually, every time your watch got a message that your partner was ovulating, it could dispense a Blue Chew.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
You know, we could do that, like in the studio, when your partner's ovulating, we could just have like the lights turn on a different color. Like
Barry White comes on the radio.
Yeah, like we could know, we could set like mood lighting.
You guys. This is ridiculous.
You guys, you stop it now. You stop it.
I'm the only girl around here, so
you were the one that brought that up yesterday.
I'm tapping in. All right, let's tell everyone what's trending on the internet. This is where Natalie scours the internet. She drudges the internet and finds the stuff that everyone's talking about.
Okay. Sean is trending because Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes have announced their breakup after 2 years. Now, people online, yes, them.
Claims
like, who are these people? Yes, those two. She sings that Havana, Nuna,
Oh, I know that song.
Yeah, yeah. So that's her. And then I'm going to be honest, I don't know exactly who he is. But some people were saying that they never really were an actual couple, but actually a publicity stunt. So the sentiment on Twitter is like, stop pretending that you guys weren't a media stunt. Okay, you broke up. Whatever. I didn't know that people thought their relationship was a farce, so I don't care.
He's a Canadian singer-songwriter. I know a lot about him.
You just Googled him.
He's a singer-songwriter.
What song does he sing?
He gained a popular following in 2013. He posted song covers on the popular video service Vine. At the time, it was Vine. The following year, he caught the attention of artist manager Andrew Gentler. It was interesting.
I don't want this information. What's his most famous song?
Stitches.
Stitches. I can't stand that song, by the way.
Okay. Good. So he's on the market, ladies, and so is she.
Sweet.
Or gentlemen. Whatever.
Get out your Blue Chew.
Okay, Lily James is trending. No, pull up these images. They're great. She is playing Pamela Anderson in a new Hulu show about Pam and Tommy.
She looks
now, when
just
I saw
like her.
Holy smokes. When I saw this in the thing, I was like, "Oh my god, it's Pamela Anderson."
It's not. That's Lily James from Downton Abbey. She's also Cinderella.
What?
Yes, it's Lily James as Pam Anderson.
Holy
the new show is called Pam and Tommy, or maybe Tommy and Pam. I'm pretty sure it's Pam and Tommy. It is about their infamous sex tape and the leak of it.
Wait, that picture right there is not Pamela Anderson?
It's not. No, that's
Holy
Lily James.
Cow.
Yeah. Do you have? I had a third one in there. You don't seem to have it.
This from Netflix? Is this?
No, that's not that one.
No.
Anyway, yeah, she nails it. And the trailer I did watch is super interesting because it didn't seem to load. I'm sorry. Because the way it's presented is that Pamela Anderson is actually quite mortified about the tape leak and. I don't really like, I never really wanted to see much about that tape, but I'm interested in her perspective to sort of humanize her. I don't know. I'm not going to watch this, but I like Lily James, so.
Yeah, I cannot believe that that's Lily James from Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy,
did they
huh?
do stuff to her face? I mean, they must have, right?
I don't think she has that square jaw. I think that maybe is a prosthesis. Go to the one of her in the bathing suit.
Yes.
They maybe had squared out her jaw a bit, but they nailed the eyes, too, in the smoky lid. Anyway.
I want to find a picture of her so people know.
What she normally looks like, Lily. We'll find the Cinderella one, too. It's funny, when you took Miles to see the Eternals, he was like, how do I know that character, Icarus? And it's because he knows him from Cinderella. Yes, this is what Lily James normally looks like.
Huh.
So, she was Rose in Downton Abbey.
Yes.
And also Cinderella.
Is there a new there's a new Downton Abbey show coming out, isn't there?
There's a new movie. Yes, indeed there is.
Gates
is trending because Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz says that he might like to hire Kyle Rittenhouse as a congressional intern, that is, if he is acquitted of murder. And Gates has been very vocal about riling people up in not a very nice way on Twitter about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial.
I don't think Kyle Rittenhouse
wants to work for Matt Gaetz.
No, that's somebody you should not align yourself with.
Yeah, like, oh, you know, I think maybe he needs to hire like a PR person. Do not align yourself with Matt Gaetz. But on top of that, if he wins this trial, he's going to have the ability to go after like some of these big media companies for libel. He could make a boatload of money.
I don't think that's true. I think it's harder to actually prove a libel case than you think.
We'll see.
But his lawyer has been threatening it. I don't think that's a slam dunk.
I don't think he needs to be an intern. They'll pay him off to keep him from making it a thing.
Perhaps. I don't think Matt Gaetz gives a crap about Kyle Rittenhouse or anyone who actually was hurt in that scuffle. I think Matt Gaetz just wants to, he's a bait and switch. Like, look over there, because that guy's still in so much trouble for like underage sex.
Yeah,
and
he's trying to move the spotlight a little bit.
Ugh.
Yeah, I love what Nefak in our chat says. Matt Gaetz could hook Kyle up with people his age, though.
He could. All right, Tiger King 2 is trending. The second season of the Netflix show was released, and early reviews say that it is not very good. It follows Tiger Joe as he continues to be imprisoned, so there's no real major reveal or intrigue. It's apparently just less interesting if we're not all locked in our homes.
Yeah, I mean, the appeal of Tiger King 1 was that, you know, it ends with a finite thing. Like, he's off.
Is he going to get in jail? What happened?
So now he's in prison and he's just...
We all know he is still in prison. Right. So why do we want to watch him in prison?
He's in there for the rest of his life. Like, what
did you say about the first one?
I never even watched the first one. Like, I couldn't go down that rabbit hole.
It's musty, I'm going to tell you. Yeah. You can tell everyone in that show smells bad. Okay, Papa John's logo is trending because the new Papa John's pizza logo no longer has an apostrophe. So does this mean that now it's pizza for all people named John's? Or, I don't know. Twitter doesn't like this, and this is another reason that grammar matters, folks. This piece brought to you by our show sponsor, Grammarly.
Exactly. I don't understand. First of all, it looks worse.
Yes, it does.
The red looks worse. It's like way more
like
saturated.
Inflammation, yeah. Which you'll get when you eat that.
Right. I don't know. I guess, are they on some sort of a media tear? I mean, I guess the head of Papa John's is like has been under scrutiny for a while. But
he's not even the head anymore.
Right.
He came under fire a few years ago for saying the N-word in a board meeting. And he has stepped down, I believe. This is, I guess, a rebranding to let you know that John is not part of the Papa John's. It is now pizza for all Johns.
You'll notice that this one is registered trademark, where the other one doesn't have that. So I wonder if...
Yeah. Yeah, perhaps. I wonder why they stuck the R in there. John Schnatter? Schnatter? That's an unfortunate last name.
It's also not Italian.
Apparently he's not happy with this. He didn't like the dropping of the apostrophe.
Because he wanted to be, it was his, possessive.
Right.
I'm the John.
So now it's every John's pizza. Okay. Right.
Or Joao. Or Jose.
All right.
Or Jose.
And that's it?
That's it. That's what's trending today.
All right. Well.
You can take that.
Leave this up.
Pam Anderson. I mean, it takes a confident actress to be like, yeah, I can do that, you know. But better work.
Yeah,
good job. She better work that red bathing suit. I mean, the thing about that bathing suit is the really high hip, too. It's got that super high hip. So I'm going to need to see all of it, girl.
I will, too. Yes. Yes, indeed. All right, everyone. Do we have a bunch of super chats. I won't be able to hear if you can. Maybe Natalie can.
I can hear them.
Okay.
Ish.
Ish.
I'm going to go ish, get them ish. Okay. We've got Thornail Robinson with a super sticker. Thank you. Chris Moore, just wanted to let all of you know that all your hard work is appreciated with a heart.
Aw, thank you, Chris.
Hans Wolf Clayton. Subaru just did a live stream unveil yesterday of their Solterra EV model. Grats on your new runner. Looks sweet. Great color. Smiley face with a, what do you call that? Hang loose Hawaiian hand.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm digging, I'm digging my new electric Mini with the new electric hubcaps too.
And then we got Tanya Hunkin Mara with a super sticker that says she's our number one fan.
Thank you so much.
And Maria Linder Styling, I thought you lived in Florida. I have a 23-pound turkey.
23-pound.
Wow. That's like two turkeys.
How much does Grover weigh?
Probably like 10
he's
12
7
pounds,
kilos,
you think?
So he's about 14 pounds.
So we got a 10-pound turkey?
Yeah.
So it's even less the size of Grover.
Yes, but Grover's all leggy and stuff, you know.
We got another super chat, and this is specifically for you, Natalie.
Okay.
Natalie, when food prices went up, you said, why are people upset about finally paying the real amount for food? It bothered me. Please explain.
I don't think I mean why are people upset. I think I do mean that people feel upset because a lot of our food is subsidized and made from chemicals instead of actual food. And so, you know, in most countries, you'll see that people spend more of their salary on food because food is not subsidized by the government and it's a little bit more expensive to pay for whole products like butter and produce and meat rather than processed items, which is a staple of the American diet. And so the American people, I feel, have been trained to expect food to be cheap, but it's also not healthful food. And it makes me sad. I'm not upset that anyone feels, you know, upset that their grocery bill is rising. I'm more upset that everyone is upset that they're paying more for the same processed food with the same low quality.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, if you look at the disparity, like, from bad food. So I can go to the grocery store and I can get really bad, disgusting bacon for, like, $4.99.
Yes.
Or I can go to the butcher and get good bacon for, like, $12 a pound. But
yes.
I feel better eating that because it doesn't have all of the nitrates and all this other stuff that's in the cheap stuff. Because it's actually cheaper the way they process it and put chemicals in it so that you're... the whole process for the meat industry alone is horrible, but
yes,
you know,
according to an Oxfam International into a published survey called Good Enough to Eat Index, in which food quality in practically every country around the world was studied, of all developed countries, the United States was 21st place because of mediocre food quality and high levels of diabetes and obesity, because we're paying more for food that's killing us. So it's more about the fact that food is a perversion, the entire system. Again, I really recommend that everybody read the book, The Secret Life of Groceries, please, because it will show you what the actual cost is, the human cost of the things that you purchase and put in your pantry. So thank you for that question. Join me on Goodreads. It's just Natalie Morris, goodreads.com/Natalie Morris. And I appreciate anyone who wants to have a conversation and really invest in yourselves and the food supply that is killing us.
I always get so scared to read books like that.
Read it, please. It's so good, and it's really well done, and it's just, it will change the way you feel when you go into a grocery store, and you will realize, like, that there are people behind these things. And
yeah, there's a lot of in this about the trucking industry, the long-haul trucking industry. So it's not just about grocery stores, but it's the whole food supply chain.
You will never eat shrimp again, especially frozen shrimp that comes from Asia. So at the very least you can do is only eat local shrimp or not at all. Because just realize that everything you touch has been trucked to you at the expense of somebody else's life. And for some reason,
the
government is not interested in subsidizing truckers, which keep our entire lives running. But they are interested in media companies and big business and oil and gas and all of that. So, Thank you very much for that super chat. I appreciate it very much. I'm sorry if that came off as offensive. That was not my intention. And what? Shut up. Shut up, Clayton.
You say that's your life's goal, is to not alienate well-intentioned
and
people.
And it seems like I'm failing.
And you're like,
at that.
I'm sorry if I offended you. That was not my intention. So I was just laughing that's your life's goal.
Yeah, we talk a lot about how I am unlikable, so.
No, you talk about that. I love you.
Yeah.
And you don't seem to like me a whole lot, but you love me.
Yeah, I don't like you, but I love you.
I just got the audio super chats? So I'll be listening to it today.
Oh, good, good.
No more super chats.
All right, everyone. Thank you guys so much for joining us today on the show. Again, we apologize for the audio interface explosion. And I even had an interview that I had to do after the show here today, and I had to cancel that, which I'm bummed about as I've been looking forward to this interview. So we will attempt to get this fixed so that we are back to normal before tomorrow's broadcast here on Morning Invest.
You think I should have a booster chair?
I offered you a booster seat.
I think maybe tomorrow I'll be taller, you guys.
Okay. We're going to get our phone.
Just sit on that pumpkin.
Yeah, just sit on that pumpkin.
I'll get one of the car seats, the booster car seats, and sit on it.
Or I'll get out the Blue Chew. Bye, everyone.